Cronk and the Bro podcast.
Cronk and the Bro.
All right.
Hello. Welcome to episode 6 of Cronk and the Bro. This is our wedding part 2. Episode, because there really just wasn't enough time in episode 1 to really talk about everything we want to talk about in terms of wedding and marriage and traditions and even just our own experience.
Yes. We have a special guest later.
Yes, the Mo, the maid of honor, is going to be joining us for a very special segment later on.
I can't wait to hear
the main event. Do you want to tell our audience what we're going to be doing?
So basically, there's at your bachelorette party. The maid of honor, our special guest, had questions. I was emailed the questions.
Ahead of time.
And I answered them to the best of my ability. Sent them to the maid of honor for our wedding. And then you got the same questions.
I did.
And the rumor is going around that the answers were interesting.
I was there because obviously she read the questions and we failed miserably. So I cannot wait to watch your reaction when you listen to
these actual answers. Yeah, it'll be interesting. So
it's going to be great.
Yeah,
it's going to be great. But first, let's start off with, I think, the most disputed tradition that you're very upset about.
Yes, I am upset. Yes.
Which is
this stupid cake tradition. Okay. So here's the cake tradition. Those of you that, I had never heard of this until, I guess until we were getting married. So you have the cake. You pay money for the cake.
Yes.
You get.
It's beautiful and delicious.
It's really good. You know, you're testing all that stuff, taste it and making sure it's awesome. And then after the wedding, you bring some of it home. Of course, you bring home cake.
Yes.
But what do? You leave it in the freezer for a year. For a fucking year. You leave it in the freezer and then eat it.
I don't know who started this tradition, but as long as I've known, all the weddings I've been to, they say you freeze the top of your cake and then you eat it on your first anniversary and it's supposed to be good luck. But there are so many of these wedding traditions that are supposed to be good luck. I mean, we just have to call bullshit on it.
We don't need that much good luck.
No.
To sacrifice having to wait a year to eat our cake. And
you know what the rumor is?
What's the rumor?
That it tastes like shit. It really does.
Great. That is great.
It's just a waste of a perfectly good cake that we could have eaten fresh, that we knew. But because we didn't do the night before tradition, I did feel like it was important that we did this tradition.
Well, should we just have them play the video?
Oh, the video perfectly sums it up. How bummed you are that we have to wait to eat our cake.
Enjoy the video.
Yeah.
Can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Can we not take the wedding cake out and eat it now?
No, baby.
Why?
Because it's good luck to eat it on our 1 year anniversary.
So we have to wait a year.
Yeah,
wedding cake.
We have to wait until it tastes like shit, and then we can eat it.
It makes no fucking sense.
I know.
You sure we can't just take it out and have like a little piece? Just saying.
It's all so right. Good.
And, you know, I just pretty much said it all.
You did. I think my favorite part of that video, though, is the why. Like, you say it like such a little kid. It's so sad.
It's incredibly sad.
You really just want to eat your cake.
That's it. And then I also enjoyed the part where I'm like, you sure we can't just take it out, have a little piece?
I love that part too.
That's a good part too.
Although I'm half convinced that I'm going to like go, when we do have to defrost this cake, that there's going to be little bites taken out of it. I had to bury that thing so you couldn't find it.
Well,
it's like all the way in the back, but I created like a frozen food wall around it because I knew.
You better get a bunch of frozen Eggos and dumplings and ice packs and
tons of stuff from Trader Joe's.
You better hope I forget about it, because
I really hope you forget about it.
I might crack. There's a possibility that I'll crack in 4 months.
I'll just come home and you're eating frozen cake, like not even waiting for it to defrost.
And I won't even give a shit at that point, because I'll be so frustrated that I have to wait that long. A fucking year.
I know.
Whoever made up that tradition, you're a total loser.
And whoever made it up, people are still sticking to it. I mean, that's the thing. That's the tradition that's stuck.
I'm sure the person who did it is cool and they had good intentions, but it's a fucking loser move. It's a completely loser move. I can't stand it. That is what it is.
I know. We really should get to the source and just call bullshit on it. But we did it. Now it's done. Now there's no...
You're part of the problem. You are part of the problem.
Listen, I had that Italian aunt guilt.
Yeah.
Gnawing away at me that at the very least, this was something, we had so much food at the wedding, so much cake. It was beautiful. The last thing we needed was to eat a whole cake ourselves. So I felt like it was the right move to, we'll stick to this tradition and we'll like put the cake in the freezer like they say you're supposed to do. The Italian grandmas tell you that's what you're supposed to do.
All right. I mean, I'll respect the Italian grandmothers in that regard. I could understand like a couple days later or like, a week.
Oh, that was great. You did think it was supposed to be a week. You were like, we don't eat it next week?
I probably played dumb just to try to hopefully eat it a week after. I could understand like something like that, but a year.
I know. I'm not a very traditional person. I'm really not, but I did.
A year.
I don't know. Maybe I self-guilted myself into this one. Yes. I don't know.
Yes.
Well, come on.
Well, listen, we've already committed to it, so we have to stick to it.
It's done now. Now it's in the freezer. You don't really... Oh my God, you're being so dramatic right now about this cake. Listen, I promise you this. If it tastes like garbage, I will buy us the exact same cake.
We'll come back on this show.
From Pastry Garden in Poughkeepsie, because that's where the cake came from.
Very good cake.
Delicious cake. So good. So pretty.
Other reason why this is
awful.
We'll
pop a picture of the cake up on here too, because
yeah.
We have the most epic cake topper of all time. Bride and groom riding on a jet ski. Doesn't really get much better than that.
But let's wait a year. I'm done with it. Let's move on. Let's move on from this segment. Okay. It's getting wild up. I mean, yeah, whatever.
Well, you're so riled up about the cake, but I'm pretty riled up about these thank you notes. You want to know why? Because I have to hand write every thank you note that we ever sent. You want to know why? Because Patrick claims he doesn't have nice handwriting. So then I get stuck writing every thank you note.
Yes. And that's how it should be, because my handwriting is terrible. It looks...
Oh, come on. It's insulting. Just trying to get
my
out of it.
My handwriting is insulting to someone who's in kindergarten learning how to handwrite. Like, I don't even want to say it. It's horrible.
It's not that bad.
It's bad.
It's not. But listen, I love a good thank you note. I like receiving them. I love sending them because it is that extra special gesture. I have no issue with the actual sending of a thank you note. But you need to write some shit out.
Well, guess what? Well,
or you need to do the envelopes or something.
I'll lick the envelope.
No, not lick the envelopes. That's the easiest friggin' part. Are you kidding?
What? What part of the envelope?
Address the envelopes. You have to put who the sender is, put the return address, put the stamp on it, and then you lick it. See that sigh? I'll do that. You literally don't do any
even
of
though
that.
You should,
I do all that.
Even though you should be punished to have to write the thank you notes for the stupid cake tradition. That should
and
be your punishment
it's more
for
authentic
that.
If it's handwritten as opposed to like a printed one. So I'm going to handwrite them, obviously. But see, that sigh that you just did, that means you never did it.
No, because my handwriting is terrible.
I mean putting the address on the freaking envelope.
Oh, I mean,
envelope.
It's going to take me like 10 hours to write one thing because it's going to be squiggly everywhere.
You do them, print them on the computer, baby.
All right, I'll do that. I'll do the envelopes.
You can just print them.
No one should be subjected to my handwriting. It's terrible. No human being. Thank God for computers and Microsoft Word. Thank God. And you know,
just
Outlook and email.
Print them from the document, and then they're good to go.
Can you imagine if I had to use like a fucking like quill pen, like in the colonial days, and like
no
that would be it would be a train wreck.
No one is asking you to do that. I promise.
I just want to thank all the people in tech,
whoever invented mail merge
typing,
and the print design and print labels. Awesome.
I love you. people now, with that and a pen.
Now you just have to do it.
You guys got to cool off because I suck. I suck at handwriting. But at any rate.
It's okay. Just computer. Computer
email.
Only.
I'll email shit at anybody. I don't care.
No, it's not.
Handwriting is like.
No, not email. Print.
No, I know.
Print it.
It's fine. But.
Typed.
But your handwriting is lovely, so.
Oh, sure. There it is. There's the guilt. Oh, but your handwriting so is good. Lovely. Yeah. Oh, you have better handwriting than me.
Oh, you clip. That's, come on.
I know, but
it's not. You can't dispute the fact that you have better handwriting. You clearly do.
I don't know. Yeah. No, it's okay. I don't mind. But envelopes. You're on the envelopes.
I'll do envelopes. I mean, yeah, if
okay.
you want. Yeah.
I'm gonna hold you to that.
Yeah, well, I'm going to forever roast you for this one-year cake thing anyway, so just pick your battles. Go ahead. We can move on. It's going
to
circle back to it.
Well,
you know?
I can't wait to put you to work, my little stationary task. It's going to be great. You're going to learn so much. It's going to be great.
As I de-thaw that freaking cake.
Licking an envelope and take a bite of cake and licking
I'll
an envelope and take
yeah,
a
I'll
bite of cake.
I'll wolf that thing down. You won't even know what happened. Take that thing down, though.
Yeah. Well, I mean, you know, you shouldn't dwell on the cake, like, too much, because I'd say that we, like, break the traditions, too. We, you know, unlike our parents or our grandparents, we're living together. We lived together before we got married.
Yeah, which I don't... That's... To me, that concept is crazy, because... I guess if back then, I guess different times, but... Imagine that, though. Like, you date someone for years, you'd never live in the same square footage as them. And then you get married, and then you get put in the same, you know, like, same living quarters.
But
that, to me, sounds crazy.
I know, but to be honest, after talking to, like, my parents and my grandparents, they did not date for years. A lot of them would date under a year, 6 months, 9 months, 1 year tops. And then they'd get engaged.
Because that's honestly true.
Like, especially if you're thinking about our grandparents, they started having children right away. They would,
that's true.
They would get married younger, and people really didn't date as long as they did now. Like, if you told someone to date for 7 years before you got married, like we did, it doesn't matter. It was great.
Yeah, yeah.
But like back in the when our grandparents
were
like courting each other. No way.
Yeah. And the flip side, you know, tell the majority of couples today that once they're dating for 7-9 months, then they got to move in together and then get married, you know? So it goes both ways, which makes sense, I guess. I could respect the fact that they don't live to, if they're only going to date 7-9 months, whatever, and then get married, I can understand them not living together, but for me, like, you know, I'm just thinking of in terms of, because I know there are so many couples, so many, we both know people who are very particular, very specific, and like, we're both very cool and calm about sharing space, which is great.
You would call me calm? That's so nice of you.
Well, certain things. Don't get carried away, okay? I'm just saying, I know there are couples, we know people who argue about very small, petty things. And
no, I'm
imagine
happy.
6 months and then you get married. And then
I'm happy with the way
together.
We did things.
Right,
I'm really
yeah.
happy with the course of events. I wanted to live with you before we got engaged because you don't know someone really intimately in that way until you're sharing a space together, because the person could be a total con artist or they put on
completely,
they could put on one show with you and then behind closed doors they're like a completely other person. And unfortunately that still happens. People like lure people in.
The saying I live by is, if you can't make it through a lease, you'll never make it through a mortgage.
Oh,
that is my saying and my suggestion.
So when was like the 1 year of living together, Mark, a big deal for you?
Well, yeah, I mean that. Oh, certainly a year.
Like, that was your marker. Like once we hit a year, then you sort of thought about proposing at that point.
Well, I think, yeah. Well, a lot of, I think this might be common with men. I think a lot of when men feel comfortable proposing is when their career stabilizes a little bit. You know, when their income is there, because then you have to think like, okay, you have to think, like, once you're engaged, you're going to probably, you know, we had a longer engagement, like, right, whatever, a year and a half or whatever, 2 years.
No, we had 2 years and 3 months.
2 years, 3 months, right. So, you know, but most people. But that was
because of the date and the venue. We found a venue we liked.
Yeah, yeah.
We didn't want to get married in the same year as your brother, so we chose the next year.
Right.
And we loved that venue and we loved the fall. But, so,
right. That and was that's, really good. And that, and the timeline worked out in that way. But I think for most men who are about to propose, you do want to be financially stable.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I think both sides, I think,
right,
men and women, because it's a partnership.
Yeah. And then, you know, and then you have to think about, okay, the cost, because.
Oh, yeah.
You know,
we know that.
There's costs, which is cool. It's a great party, you know, to throw. But then also, but then right after that, right after the wedding, you've got to think about a house and you got to, you know, so it's.
Well, that's a lot of it matters
to a stability. And then there's also the element of, you know, just having a path that you can a stable path that you're on, just in your life and mental space too, you know, because it's a big commitment.
Right. So. Well, the fact that people can still buy houses before they get married is just shocking to me. Like, we did have a handful of friends who did that, and they just sort of, or even like right after their wedding, it just sort of blows my mind. I mean, now with the way the real estate market is, I mean, we're definitely, like, back in our queen's apartment.
Yeah.
With all of our wedding stuff and yeah, all of our gifts.
There's some people that we know where, like, they had an awesome house and then they got married after, you know, like, it's sometimes it works out, but I right, think where I put my warning flags up is, like, people who just are spontaneous. They're always the ones who end up having, you know, the sort of quote unquote train wreck type of situations where they jump into things real too quick.
No, you shouldn't rush into a house. That is not something to rush into.
That's a big deal. It's a big financial thing. And, you know, so that's, you know, they go hand in hand nowadays for sure. Right.
Well, in our grandparents' era, that was when, you know, then you're finally living together.
Which is so interesting that it was.
But
like
I think
that.
It feels different. I do think it feels different.
Oh, it does. It definitely feels
different. It's different now that it's like official.
Right. Yeah. It's official. Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. Traditions, I guess it's to each his own, but I can't imagine. And I'm sure people nowadays wouldn't be able to fathom just like, oh, you're only going to date, you've been dating 7 months. Oh, you should be married right now. You know, like
have a baby right away because that is when you're most fertile.
That's a whole nother.
I mean, my grandmother, well, she got married at 19.
Which is not.
That's young.
Yes.
That's young.
In this era and this time, yes, that is incredibly young. But
so back, young. You're back, like just but, out of high school.
But, you know, during her time, a lot of people probably got married between 19 and 21 and probably 18.
Oh, I'm sure 18.
You know, before the college education scene really blew up and.
Yeah, not everybody graduated high school.
Yeah, and the other thing was the need for a college degree wasn't as high back then.
No.
Because you could start a career right after you could kind of technically start your career like during your time off in high school, and then once you graduate you're not, you know, you have availability, but it's different eras for sure. It's just so crazy how drastic, and I just can't imagine the flip side. So.
Yeah. Well, I'm happy with our trajectory here.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. We're good. Yeah. Interesting, though. Interesting.
Very, very interesting. Very interesting.
Yeah. Yep.
Well, I think it's about time to welcome our special guest, maid of honor of the real royal wedding, our wedding.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. our wedding. Yeah.
Kim, welcome. Thanks for joining us.
Hey, thanks for having me.
So we have something very important to share with Pat.
On my
bachelorette party, Kim gave me a questionnaire about how well I know my then fiance, now husband. I want to say that, what would you say, Kim? We failed with flying colors?
Failed miserably. It was terrible.
7 years of 7 years. And I guess we still have a lot to learn about each other, huh?
Mm. It would seem so.
I guess so.
Based on what you guys just said, I've been waiting.
Right. Well, I do want to preface this by saying that, like, I had a glass or two of wine before.
A bottle or two of wine.
No. No. Wasn't that much, Kim? Come on. And you, how many bottles of wine were you in when you took this quiz?
I was zero bottles of wine in because I was completely sober when I answered these questions.
Definitely.
Kim shot me an email with the questions, and I responded quickly and in a sober fashion, and I answered them as best as I could.
You were so sincere, too. It was really sweet.
So it sounds like we're already going to have a contrast in answers, it seems.
A little bit. Okay.
All right.
All right, Kim. Take it away.
Okay. Are you ready?
I'm so ready. I think Pat's even more ready than I am, though.
I've been waiting forever, so let's go.
Okay, so as a reminder, the game is called The Groom Said What? Mm. So the point is, Pat answered these questions, and then Sarah had to respond with how Pat previously responded. All right, are you ready?
Yes.
So ready.
Where was your first kiss? Pat answered McCann's, which is reasonable. We were always at McCann's. Mm-hmm. Sarah answered 37th Street apartment with tongue.
Oh my God.
You can tell right off the bat that Sarah had had a lot to drink.
Holy crap. Yeah, a lot to drink, clearly.
But
a lot to drink.
I think I'm right. No, I am. No, not about the tongue
you're
part.
You're not right.
Not about the tongue part. The location, I'm correct, because that night we went to McCann's, where we all did like the casual hangout. You walked me back to my apartment, and that was where we had our first kiss, outside my apartment building.
Nope. That's incorrect. It's in McCann's.
Oh.
In McCann's, in the upstairs part.
No. That was the next date. Well, I all guess right.
That, well,
Kim,
that
it's
still a bad start.
Still up for debate.
Okay, ready for the next failure?
Yep.
Mm-hmm. What's his favorite body part of yours?
Oh my God! Go ahead.
Pat couldn't pick. He wrote, and he had a question mark in it. He wrote eyes or boobs for bonus points? Question mark.
That was a good double answer. That's a safe
good
play.
Safe bet, but we still I think got it wrong.
You still didn't get it right because Sarah wrote booty.
I thought you were more of an ass man. I don't know.
All right, well, if we're off to a great start already. 0 for 2. Interesting.
0 for 2.
All right.
Yikes.
This is crazy. All right, well,
I do know you, I promise.
Go ahead, Kim.
All right, the next one you'd think would be a little less controversial, but it wasn't. What would he say is the best present you ever gave him? He wrote custom Nike sneakers, which I remember it took you a few years to like get the right ones, right?
Yeah, that wasn't, I got him the custom sneakers maybe about like halfway through our relationship.
I feel like it was like a few years in the making for you to actually.
Right, because we saw them in a store in LA, this like red, white, and blue Nikes, but then I could never find them. So then I did just have to make them.
Okay. I remember looking for those with you for years to find them for him.
Yeah.
We tried, man. We tried.
Yeah. You got
anyway.
It.
Yeah.
Still made them anyway.
Sarah thought that you would have said Red Sox tickets.
All right,
For your 30th.
You know what? The sneakers technically lasted me longer, but the 4th of July Red Sox ticket you got me was pretty awesome. So I'm gonna lean towards you as being the one who answered properly in that question.
Mm.
I nudge that to you, Kronk. You got that one.
What did he say was your most embarrassing moment?
Oh my gosh.
Here we go. Oh, man.
So again, Pat answered, you know, discreetly and appropriately, and just wrote the housekeeping incident in Las Vegas.
Mm-hmm. Yep. It's a fair point. It is.
Housekeeping incident in Las Vegas. Mm-hmm. Yep.
Sarah wrote farting.
You mailed that one in.
What do you mean I mailed it in? Because it wasn't specific?
Yeah.
Aw. I mean,
your most embarrassing moment, like, oh, so your most embarrassing moment happens like every single day, like or every other day. I mean, amazing. Wow. Keep going, Kim. It's only going to get better, I guess. Sounds like.
Okay. This one was actually like fairly close. What pet name or nickname do you call him? So Pat said that you call him Bubba. Said that you call him Bebe.
Which I do as well.
All right.
I use both, actually.
So you're both right, but you didn't agree.
Yeah.
Or maybe we'll call that a gray area. We both were partial credit for that.
Yeah, and you also call me Bebe. Kronk Bebe.
Bebe. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
So it's interchangeable.
All right.
Really, I think we should get points for that.
That's the closest one we have so far, and it's still wrong.
We need those extra points. So can we get like a few little extra points for this?
Maybe like a quarter point. You had like a couple of the letters the same, like the B and the other B.
All right, yeah. I mean, at least it's an improvement of the first question, so we'll take it.
We'll take what we can get.
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah, this is good. This is bad.
All right, the next one confuses me. Where was your first date? I think Pat's right because he wrote Trattoria La Incontro, the place on 31st.
Restaurant in Astoria, yep.
Tara, I don't even know what you wrote. It says Ornella Trattoria. What the hell is that?
Okay, so this is what happened. We were supposed to go to Ornella, but then we got to Ornella and they were closed for like, something happened. It was like unexpectedly they were closed. It was a Saturday night.
Yeah.
So then after we go to Ornella and they're closed, he was like, what if we go to Trattoria? So that's what we did. So technically, so that's why I put Ornella.
No, technically you did not go on a date at Ornella. So technically Pat wins.
Come on, Kim.
Whose side am I on?
Whose family are you in? I mean, I know he like married in and shit, but come on.
He's family now. I don't know. I gotta defend him sometime.
He didn't make it there, but that was the plan. I should get points because that was the plan, and I did include Trattoria in there.
You tried. We'll give you a little participation sticker. You tried.
Gold star for Sarah.
All right. Go ahead, Kim. Next up.
What three words would he use to describe you? Pat said busy, social, and multitasker.
Mm-hmm.
Sarah said fun, spontaneous, and I think it says fiery.
All right, well, that's the wine working there. That's good.
In the same vein, though.
Yeah, I think they're all true. I think you both just took a different path.
I mean, that's hard to get exactly right.
We got some gray area, but it's fine.
That's like personality stuff. It really just depends on the day.
Yeah.
How fiery I'm getting.
But still, we still each had three words and we still had nothing that overlapped. That was a generous question and we still offered it. We still whiffed on it. All right. It is what it is.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
Now here's a little bonus. We asked Sarah to give us three words to describe you, Pat.
Mm.
And this was so nice. She said, patient, kind, and funny.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Do I get a bonus point?
I'll give you a bonus point.
Oh, yay. I get a gold star and a bonus point.
Kind words. Excellent.
All right. Now, this was one of my favorites because you actually gave the same answer, but you were wrong. One of you was wrong. Who gets the last word in an argument? And you both responded, me.
Amazing.
Come on.
Amazing.
Come on. It's me. It's totally me.
No, we're never going to agree on this.
How do you not agree?
Because you're always freaking out, and I always end up calming everybody down. I'm like, hold on a second. Like, let's just chill for a second.
I'm always freaking out? Damn.
Whenever there's, listen, it's an argument, so we both freak out. But typically, you're the one that's kind of, goes a little bit, and I'm like, hold on, let's just all relax.
I know, but...
And then I calm everybody down, uh-huh. Which kills the argument. Calmness kills arguments.
Yes,
so that's why I think it's me.
I, in general, am more talkative than you are, so I feel like I have the last word because I'm just always talking.
Just because you're talking doesn't mean you won the argument.
I don't know. We're not
going to
agree.
This is why we're never going to agree on this, but I think...
No.
My
you know what? I'm going to start keeping score now.
Don't do that. We know we keep score.
It's a bad idea. I'm just kidding.
My whole thing is, I am usually the one that kills the argument because I calm everybody down.
No.
Hence me getting the last word, hence me ending the argument.
No, I'm not going to agree with you on this.
All right, well,
I think you're misremembering.
Next.
Okay. Kim, we're not going to agree. But
funny thing. Hodges thinks the argument is over long before it actually is over.
Yeah, probably. Because then I get the last word.
I agree with you on this one, Sarah.
Oh, the Mo agrees.
No, right.
Yes, there she is.
Okay, next question. What would he say is your guilty pleasure? Hakeem 2, he said baked goods and iced coffee, which I think is true.
Both accurate, yep.
Sarah went a little bit more specific and just said chocolate.
All right, so we're going to get a point for that because, because
usually the baked goods, his
Pat's chocolate.
Pat's favorite baked good of mine is chocolate chip cookies. So, if that's the case.
It's a component.
It overlap. I mean, baked goods and chocolate. I mean that, so we're gonna give ourselves points for that, Kim. It's okay.
Kim, we got to take what we can get here.
Okay. It's your game. Take all the points you want.
Okay. Awesome. We get a point. Partial credit.
Now we're going to start an argument.
Uh-oh.
What does he think is your worst habit?
This is a bad one. Nothing good can come from
this. Nothing good can come of this. So Pat said leaving stuff on the bed.
I'm guilty of that.
Yes. Yes.
Sarah, I guess, does not think that's her worst habit because she thinks that hers is anxiety and stress.
And I guess overreacting when I'm anxious and stressed.
That's fair.
You don't do that.
Are you serious?
That's fair.
I did that like 4 times today. You can't argue with it.
That's fair.
And Pat was here to witness it. He must have said, "Can you please calm down?" to me at least 4 times.
Right,
today.
And that's how I won an argument. So there you go.
Oh, would you stop? You did not win. I do leave stuff on the bed, though, because we don't have enough storage, and I don't really like to put my laundry away, like, right away. And Pat puts everything away right away. Ugh. It's hard. That queen's life.
We have the same problems.
You know, the...
Yep.
It's that small apartment life, you know?
That's all right. Just a habit. It's not a big deal.
Let's move on and attack Pat instead.
Yes. Whoa. I think this is great, Kim. Good job.
All right.
Okay, what do you think is his most annoying habit? Pat thought that you were going to say not shaving or grooming his eyebrows.
Okay, that's up there though.
Amazing. I'm actually proud of you that you wrote that. That's
no, great. You wrote that.
Oh, I wrote that? Oh. Okay.
But it's up there. Yeah. It's definitely up there.
Yep. Go ahead, Kim.
Would you like to know what Sarah thinks it is your most
I absolutely want to know what she thinks my worst.
Do you remember, Sarah?
Yep, I do.
Okay, video games.
That's fair.
I mean, there are a lot of video games played.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. While your eyebrows are getting longer and longer each day.
Oh, yeah. Yep.
It's a combination. It's a lethal combination.
Yeah, it's my time suck, I guess. My time killing technique. Mm.
So, yeah. I'll just keep putting stuff on the bed.
That's it. Well, it's okay. We'll just keep on with what's going on. I mean, we'll figure it out later.
And someday I'll put my stuff on the bed and you'll play video games from the bed and it'll all be good.
Yeah, I can just lay on top of your clothes while I play video games. Perfect.
Yeah, I think that works for me.
That's a solution, right?
Yeah, I think so.
All right. That's fair, though.
Okay, next question. This one's pretty bad. What were his first impressions when he first laid eyes on you?
Oh no.
This is a big fail, guys. Pat says that his first impression was instant attraction, Sarah.
Aww, that's so nice. That's really nice. Oh God, what did I write?
All that Sarah remembers is that he didn't ask for her phone number.
Oh my God.
I'm sorry. That was not
two different mindsets.
That was
doing this questionnaire clearly.
No, that wasn't the first impression. Obviously, that's the wine talking. That maybe I misunderstood the question.
She gets a little saucy when she has her wine.
A little bit.
She gets a little saucy.
Fiery.
Fiery. Yeah. Fiery.
Well, my first impression is that you were handsome. So don't worry.
All right. Well, then next time. When you have a questionnaire about me, include that on the questionnaire.
I know. I had instant attraction too, I promise.
All right,
and
cool.
I do, I still do.
Cool. Excellent.
But you didn't ask for her number. And that was her impression of your whole first encounter.
You didn't, though.
That's a story for another time.
Yeah, I know. I'm just, you didn't ask for it.
But I'm over it.
I will say he redeemed himself.
Yeah, we tied the knot. We're good.
Yeah, like 7 years later.
Oh, yeah. He redeemed himself through and through many, many times over. So
yes. Yep.
I have nothing to complain about.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Next one. What's his favorite memory of your relationship? So Pat gave two answers. Proposal and asking to move in together on her birthday.
Oh, that's a good one. Those are both good ones. Good one, baby.
Mm.
There's a similar but more general. She wrote LBI.
Oh, so that's
so
okay,
that
works.
Counts because we got engaged in LBI.
That was a proposal.
So I think, can we get an extra point there?
What are you at, like 1.5?
Yeah, so let's just round it up. So we have an even 2 points for this questionnaire. Okay.
Okay, well, that's all you're going to get because here's the last question.
Oh, yikes.
What does he love most about you?
Oh, no. Oh, we really failed this one, Pat. We really did.
Again, Pat gave a couple answers, so it should have been easier for you to, like, pick one of the three that he gave. Pat says, what does he love most about you? Personality or curly hair and eyes for bonus points? You could have gotten bonus points. You had options.
I had options. These were good bonus points. Thank you. Appreciate that.
Very nice answer.
Very nice. So sincere and so nice. And then, hi, Scout.
We got
a little cat cameo.
Yeah.
Hi, Scouty.
He walked away already.
Well, I hope his whiskers come back on screen.
Yeah.
Okay. What does he love most about you? Sarah's answer, pizza making.
Okay.
I mean, not, yes, but not the most.
But to be fair, you love pizza more than anything. Like, it's like me and then pizza. So the fact that, like, your fiance, now wife, makes you pizza, I would think that ranks pretty high.
Because you
love, like, the highest?
Well, like, not the highest, but, like, pretty high. He really loves pizza, Kim.
Do.
I don't think you know how many times a day he asks for pizza.
Yeah.
Wakes up in the morning, wants it for breakfast, any time of day or night. Deep dish.
Just two different mentalities answering these questions.
Yeah.
Just two completely different mindsets.
Well, I think you were very sincere and, like, so sweet about it, and I'm
getting into the spirit of getting married and saying something nice about somebody else.
I mean, I it's a nice gesture for me when I make you pizza. It's a shit ton of work.
It is.
It takes a long time.
Very good.
Especially
very good
when I make
it.
The dough.
Yes.
When I make the dough and then you do all the stuff, it takes a long time. So that's love right there. I don't think you're seeing the subtext of pizza making. It's love.
A wife cooking for her husband, you know.
Right. Like all that. I mean, I haven't done it since we've been married, the pizza making part. But we are making, like, a Christmas to make and bake bucket list, and deep dish pizza is on that list.
Ooh, deep dish, nice.
Homemade deep dish.
Yep. All right. Well.
Well, thank you, Kim. That was thoroughly entertaining that we failed that how
grade,
well you know.
Letter grade F.
Oh, yeah. What's our letter grade? It's F.
F. Maybe like F plus for those points you just made up for yourselves.
Oh, do they, is F plus a thing?
No, maybe like D minus?
Is that much better?
No.
I don't think we even got a D.
Yeah.
We got like our best was like gray area partial credit. Like, there's no way
we got
a
partial
D.
credit on like 2.5 questions.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, we did horrible.
Wow. So well,
like an A for effort. Like
it's still.
I mean, I get the A for effort, right? My answers were like sweet and like romantic and stuff. And
I talked about pizza. I talked about pizza. Come on.
I just remember she just blurted it out. We asked her this question, and she just like yelled out, "Does it have to do with pizza?" Like. What?
Which is a good instinct in her part, knowing me. Yes,
it is. Like, how well do I know my husband? I know him very well. He loves pizza more than life.
I suppose it would have been...
Not more than you.
Cool. Not more than me. Yeah. It's me. Sometimes in the car, he'll be like, I love burritos. I love pizza. I love tacos. And I'm like, can I get on this list? Do you do that?
Yes, I do.
He does do that. Just like break just into like, his food song.
I just have happy moments where I'm just like thinking about food.
When he's hungry, he sometimes sings about food. It's pretty. Yeah. I have to try to like capture it sometime.
Yeah, please record it. I would love to see this.
It'll happen again. She'll have plenty of opportunities. That's how I deal with sitting at a traffic light and dealing with
that Queens
people
traffic
on the road. So wow, what an event that was.
Well, the wait is over. You see how well we failed.
After all this time, after all this hype.
I think we're still a good match, even though we failed this quiz.
I agree.
Thank you, Kim.
Yes. All right.
Well, thank you for joining us, Kim.
Yeah, this was fun. I'm glad we got to do it.
Wow. That was drastic. That was crazy. That was just...
Well,
unbelievable.
I think
how off we were.
And interpreted it a little different. Like I took it to be more of like fun and loose and joking around, and you took it like so sincere and so sweet. You had really nice answers.
I had great answers.
I'm really sorry I didn't have better answers for you. But
I mean,
hysterical
shit.
Nonetheless.
Oh, it was
yes,
funny.
Did not disappoint. I will say that we are compatible, even though we failed that quiz miserably.
Yeah. Oh, man, did we ever.
Yeah.
That was pretty bad.
It was pretty bad. Thank God we didn't
to,
know.
Like, we scratched and clawed Kim for like bonus, like little
like
percentages
partial
of
partial credit.
Point. It's awful. I mean, what are you going to do?
I know. Good thing she didn't tell us to go write a book report. We would both be writing book reports right now.
That's big time.
Good thing she didn't know about that punishment.
That's true.
She should have given us a punishment, actually, because we failed
God,
so bad. Because we got an F.
You know what? We're lucky we got out of that with no punishment.
Whew.
Either. Well, I mean, come on. We can admit.
Oh, no.
Your
it's
performance.
Just...
Your performance dragged us down a little bit.
Hey. Well, you know. Better look next time in the next relationship quiz that we take.
Wow. Oh my God.
What? I don't know how to come back from that. We're going to have to do another one.
Yeah, that's true.
Kim's going to have to come up with more questions, and we're just going to have to keep trying until we get a passing grade.
Yeah, because that was an F.
We got an F. Two and a half points, maybe at best.
So out of whatever how many questions it was, yeah, we didn't even crack 50. We definitely didn't crack.
Oh
50,
no, no,
40%.
We got an F. We definitely got an F. We definitely failed. We definitely failed. So,
all right,
we'll have to keep trying.
All right, well, hope you enjoyed the wedding episode.
Yes, weddings part one
and
two.
And you know, we'll
yes,
sign off.
Special shout out to Tracy who designed our shirts, wifey.
And
hubby. And thanks for joining us.
Thanks for listening. Thanks for watching. See you next
time.
Tune
in next week.
Yeah.
Kronk and the Bro is produced in partnership by House of Kronk and Young Hall. This episode is edited and mixed by Sarah Kronk. If you like what you heard, please subscribe and follow us on social media at Kronk and the Bro. Thanks for listening.